Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, Peter's brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus then went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. These are the words of the Scripture.
I was reassured this morning by my brother-in-law that I didn't have to worry about preaching too long. The Packers don't play till 3. But it didn't take long for problems to arise here. Someone mentioned to Cindy this morning that there was no place to park. Let's keep that problem going. It's really hard to believe that the day has finally come. But we're here. And I have to say that you have all truly overwhelmed Kathy and I with your welcoming love. The level of anticipation here is so high, we can all tell that something is going to happen. Over the last year, your search committee put in a phenomenal endless hours of meetings. They exchanged hundreds and hundreds of emails and phone calls, and many, many prayers were raised to the Lord. They deserve a great deal of our thanks. Last week, as I went home from my first day of work here at First Congregational Church, I thought to myself how blessed this church is and how blessed I am to have such an amazing staff. What a privilege it is going to be to work with them in this ministry. As I look out at you, I have to say that I am truly humbled by the opportunity that you're giving me to be your leader. With God as my strength and your love and your prayers as support, I will do my best to be the kind of leader that this church needs. But as I'm sure you all know, and something that I remind myself of regularly, it's not about me. It's about the ministry God has called us all to bring to our community and to our world. In today's lesson we read, "And immediately they left their nets and followed him." Now, following has gotten a bad reputation in our modern day culture. Leadership is where the action is. We love strong leaders. In the current presidential election campaign, if one candidate wants to really get at their opponent, they accuse each other of shoddy leadership, or worse yet, lack of leadership. We look to our leaders for clarity. We want to derive strength from our leaders. We want forthrightness. We want gutsy courage. All of these are qualities we desperately need in our public life and in our private lives as well. This morning, though, I'd like to offer a different way of looking at courageous leadership. This story of the calling of the disciples gives us an opportunity as we stand at the beginning of a new church year, at the beginning of a new time in this church's rich history, to examine the boundless courage, the audacious strength required to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To be a person of faith is not easy in this world. To be a seeker after truth and compassionate justice is a tall order. Years ago, a man by the name of Robert Greenleaf, who was an executive at AT&T, began to think about a new form of leadership. He noticed that the power and the demand of traditional leadership wasn't working at AT&T and in business in general in the United States at that time. And so he sought out new models for leadership. He began to look at all the different group dynamics of the company. And he came up with an idea that was new and yet thousands of years old, the idea of servant leadership. And he took it straight from the life of Jesus. Now, Greenleaf recognized in Jesus' life and in Jesus' ministry some key moral behaviors and remarkable qualities of not only authenticity and vulnerability, but an openness and a caring, a presence that made him a compelling teacher and a compelling leader as well. At the same time, Jesus was different. His life stood for working for the common good rather than centering in on the self. He had a way of being absolutely present to the poor and the needy, and taking a consistently courageous stand, no matter what the consequences. Now, Greenleaf realized that leadership was, at the time, often based on coercive power and control. He was interested in something different. He was interested in looking at leadership as legitimate power, based on mutual agreements. Now, if you're a true congregationalist, that ought to make you sit up and take notice, because that's what we're all about. Greenleaf believed that leaders ought to serve people rather than people serving their leaders. He also felt that the needs of the followers were holy and that they were legit. They were rose from the followers' hearts. And when he was given his authority by those he was serving. Now, our lesson makes it sound so easy. Immediately they left their nets, they left their boats, and they followed him. Now, if you translate that into your lives, it's easy to come up with that response, but that's not that easy a task. We are a people who are incredibly skeptical and filled with questions about everyone and anything that demands our surrender. And we should be. We need to be very careful in this world about who we follow. We have but to remember the power that was blindly given to Adolf Hitler and the tragedy that followed that. In far too many places in the world, people are suffering because a leader has assumed treacherous power. There's a danger in following. We should never give uncritical loyalty to any leader. We need to develop leaders that possess moral integrity and courage. We have to look closely to ensure they deserve our followership. Now, when I look closely at Jesus' life, or the life of anyone who has learned from the inside out the life of a servant leader, I see one thing in common, and that is this incredible ability to trust in the God that lies deep within each of us. Where in the world did Jesus find the authority to say, "Follow me"? I wonder, how did the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. become a drum major for justice? How could Nelson Mandela find the tenacious patience and inexhaustible courage to remain a political prisoner for 27 years while his country burned around him? What made Mother Teresa so astounding as she reminded us to care for the least of these? And where do we go in our deepest spirits to find the courage to do what God is calling us to do? Great leaders for good and for evil share some qualities with each other. They ask followers to abandon their cautious ways and to sacrifice their lives for a cause. But they're unafraid to give their lives to that cause. And their strength comes from serving it. Great leaders require great causes and often great sacrifice. What should we be demanding of our leaders if we are to be honest followers? What has our tradition to tell us about leading and following in the congregational way? Now, when we examine the story of the calling of the disciples, we begin to see that it's not so much about what they were leaving behind that is important, although that must have taken incredible guts. leaving their fishing and their friends and their family and their whole way of life. However, it took extraordinary courage to follow after what was ahead rather than behind them. They were following a new vision of a new world, the proclamation of good news for the kingdom and healing in the lives of people. Jesus called these first disciples into lives based on servant leadership. Now, the word that is translated as follow in the gospel is rooted in the Greek word road. So to follow is to get on the road. Followership is not about a longer stay with God or a good visit. Followership calls us to walk with God each and every day, each and every moment of every day. I suspect followership is a spiritual discipline that requires moral courage and some sacrifice in our lives. So we ask ourselves the question, how might we get on the road with God? Now, to begin with, I think we need to go beyond a religion or a spirituality of good works and achievements, boiling down our lives to simply being a good person. Being a good follower of our Lord requires a healthy set of faith practices. It means a willingness to delve more deeply into what it means to be a follower of Christ. Not merely a good friend of Jesus or a fan of his works. To be a follower of Jesus is to embrace a life of spiritual practice, a life of prayer and hoping and working, singing for justice and compassion in all that we do. I sense that there's more to this form of leadership than we may be aware of. To begin, we need to be less defined by what we have left behind as a congregation and as your minister. We have to be defined more by how and what we're being called to do in the future. What the world and our country needs now more than ever are communities of faith like this one that have courage and hope and people who are willing to be servant leaders for the sake of our communities and for the sake of this planet. Discipleship is such an old-fashioned word. But it means simply that we must develop the disciplines and the practices that help us to become these kinds of servant leaders. We commit ourselves to a life penetrated by love. A faith that yearns to discover the light in every darkness. And a hopefulness that continues to stand firm in even the most discouraging of times. To follow Jesus, the great servant leader, means that we embrace the full spiritual abundance that comes from living our lives with courage and with hope. The Christian ideal for our time is not simply living a set of behaviors, so much as it is a long and winding road that leads to healing and to wholeness, not only for ourselves, but for this world. He went about Galilee teaching the gospel and proclaiming the good news, healing the sick. That's where we join the story. And being a disciple begins. Follow me, Christ says to us. Discipleship means having a star by which to steer on a dark night. It means being willing to have our lives turned inside out rather than believing in the world's reality is where we begin. Following means that we want to live at the level of our soul's delight, rather than concentrate on our enticement with the mall or making a fast buck. It means that we choose over and over again to die to ourselves and to live to the Lord. You know, It's not an easy life. But I sincerely believe that it's a life worth living. It's a vocation worth embracing. It's a faith that works. Those fishermen out there in Galilee must have had some inkling of what it would mean to live out their lives in such a way. They make it seem so effortless. They drop their nets and immediately followed. I pray that God will give us the strength as we begin our journey together. Amen.